motivated by both what of the Lord and love for God? Fear of the Lord and love for God with a whole heart and mind, more than just rituals. Okay, so remember that. Worship of the Lord in the Old Testament, we saw, was motivated by fear of the Lord and love for the Lord. Okay, so we saw fear and love. We talked about that, and I just want to use this to remind you today. And not just in your mind, but with your whole heart, not just going through a ritual. Let's not go through rituals today, right? Let's just not treat today as any other Sunday where we go through our traditions without fully worshiping God with fear and love with our mind and our whole heart. Okay, amen? Yes, you guys with me? Okay, wake up a little bit. Okay, number two, worship of the Hebrews was a what type of experience before God, not just passive? Okay, obviously then, worship of the Hebrews was an active experience before God, not passive. There was an importance of words. The words of praise. The first one is praise.
I don't remember.
The words of what? Oath taking was the first one. Of praise and thanksgiving. Of prayer. Of joyful song and confession. Right? So we saw these different things. We saw the worship, we're using words that we're making commitments before God. We're taking oaths in the Old Testament. Reminds us today, when we respond to the Word of God, do we make commitments to say, yes, God, I want to live to this. I want to apply this. I want to commit to live out and obey what you've convicted me today. That we have praise and thanksgiving. We spent a little bit of time in that. I think we're still working on that as a church. Of, what was this one? Of what?
Prayer.
Of prayer. Okay. I think we enjoy praying together. Of joyful song. Okay. So we have our music. And confession, something that we don't practice very often together. But that we need to be introspective and looking at in what ways we've offended God. Okay, so that's our second one. Our first was this worship of God by fear and love. And this one was worship of the Hebrews was active and not passive. And the importance of words in worship. And then third, we saw that worshiping God included what? Includes what? Do you guys remember this? Worshiping God includes something both willingly and generously. So this then would be worshiping God includes giving. And we talked about that almost like one whole Sunday school, the concept of worshiping God through our giving, both willingly and generously. Yeah. And joyfully even. We said that later. Willingly and generously, even joyfully, of what you have to God. Right? We don't always think of the giving as worship, but that is part of our worship. Amen? You guys with me? Okay, we're all connected in. Well, today, we're going to look at our last area of worship. And so, if you want to turn your Bibles into 1 Chronicles, I know we're not reading into devotions right now, but if you want to turn to it in 1 Chronicles 15, seeking God's hand at work and remembering his loving kindness should result in spontaneous what type of worship? Let's look at 1 Chronicles 15, 29, and you're going to see the worship of a man that I think you're very familiar with. Okay, Chronicles after Kings. But we know that even though Chronicles is after Kings in our Bibles, where in the Old Testament did Chronicles, where in the Jewish Bible did the Chronicles belong? At the very end, right? So, because it is stories of the past that provide what? Hope for the future. Thank you, Valerie. I saw you word that out. First Chronicles 15:29. Let's see what it says, shall we? And as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David dancing and celebrating, and she despised him in her heart. So seeing God's hand at work, that's what David saw, and remembering his steadfast loving kindness should result in spontaneous what worship, huh?
Dancing.
Dancing worship?
Outward worship.
Outward worship could be. Let's figure out what it is by looking at the contrary. Okay, let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 8 through 10. And let's see if I could lead you down this path, because it's hard to guess. It's spontaneous dancing worship? Maybe. It could be that. That's what we learned today, and we're going to spend a moment in dancing worship. Oh, Lord, Joshua says. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 8 through 10. All right, here we go. At that time, Solomon held the feast for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly, from Lebo Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a solemn assembly, for they had kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day, of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their homes, look at this, joyful and glad of heart for the prosperity that the Lord had granted to David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Okay? The chronicler's emphasis is still on the great blessings of what type of worship versus what we saw in David's life, which was spontaneous. What type of worship? What are we contrasting here? You got to think a little bit. I didn't think this was going to be that hard, but I could see how it's kind of like a guessing game right here.
Like solemn worship at the end?
Solemn worship. Well, they left joyful and glad of heart for the prosperity. Solomon held a feast for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly, versus as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, she looked out the window and saw King David dancing and celebrating. So, what's the difference here? What do we do? How about this? I'll give you a hint. What do we do? What is this called when we're together on Sunday versus when you're by yourself during the week?
The church.
Okay. So this would be what? Can you speak a little louder? Articulate.
Corporate versus individual.
Corporate versus individual. Okay. So... big words, someone says, right? So seeing God's hand at work and remembering his steadfast loving kindness should result, as we saw in David, our spontaneous individual worship. We saw that in David. You see God's hand at work, you remember what God has done, and you should respond in spontaneous individual worship, sometimes, as Joshua said, in dancing. Obviously with joy. However, the chronicle overall, whenever we examined worship, even for the other 3 points that we made, focuses in on the chronicle's emphasis on corporate worship. That means, corporate means the people together. That's why we saw in 2 Chronicles the phrase that said, all Israel gathered. So when David and Solomon called worship together, they called all of Israel together to worship. And everyone left that worship with joy and gladness in heart. Right? Isn't that cool? So you see, both cases, there's like joy and gladness in worship. But one is individual and the other is corporate. Okay? So if you don't use those words often, you can get used to that. I guess it's a big word. It's a fancy word. So I have a question for you guys to discuss this morning. Why do Christians often only think of worship as the worship service on Sundays like today? Why is it our natural tendency when we say worship? Okay, we need to go to worship together at church or with the church, not at church, right? I hate to say that, right? Church is not the location, church is us. Right? But when we think of worship, we think of doing it together corporately. Why do you think that? Why don't you guys discuss for a few minutes? Get in a group of three or four, and max four. Why do you think Christians often only think of worship as the worship service on Sundays? Or a lot of times today, when people say worship, what do they think of? Music. Only music. But I mean, even looking at our study of worship in the Old Testament, the chroniclers show us that worship comes through more than just music. It comes through giving. It comes through words. It comes through an active participation. It comes in my fear of the Lord and love for the Lord with my whole heart and mind, right? So we know that's more than music. How come sometimes we even think of it, we limit it on Sundays? Talk about that in your group real quick, and then we'll come back together. Cool. All right, let's come back together. So what do you guys think? Let's kind of hear, why do you think that worship is limited in our mind to be like Sunday? What do you guys think?
You said that, I think, growing up in the church,
yeah,
you're kind of taught that worship is for Sundays. Worship
right.
is singing, you know,
right.
with your choir or with
right.
other people.
Right.
And so we focus on the idea of corporate worship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really understand individual worship. And I didn't learn until as an adult that worship can be prayer. It can be offering.
Right.
It can be your personal spiritual God.
Right,
like,
right.
There's a lot, even just like going about your normal day can be
yes.
worship. But that's something I learned much later.
Right.
And I don't put that particular blame on anyone. I think that's just something as a more mature Christian you learn.
Right, okay. Okay, that's fair, right? So Dorothy's saying that sometimes because we live in the church environment, or she said as she grew up in a church environment, you're just kind of assuming or thinking that worship is only on Sundays. So you come together to do that, and so you never thought of your individual time as worship. Does everyone agree with that? Is that kind of what you guys all said? Anything else in the back to add? No? Anyone here? You guys want to add anything?
Sometimes it's just terminology.
Yeah, sometimes it is just terminology.
We don't say personal worship, we say devotion.
Okay. So maybe devotional and prayer might be worship. Good. This group I was just talking to immediately because they ended a little earlier in their group, and they said they feel that sometimes it is just kind of a label because we call it Sunday worship. We call it children worship. Or for other churches, it's like the music time is like worship. The pastor will go up there and go, wow, what a great time of worship we just had. And then after a while, you begin to think, oh, that's worship. And it's mislabeled. And we never really thought about our own life, those times of prayer, devotion, as worship. What really is individual worship, though? I don't know if I have that question. Okay. What is, like, individual worship? Is individual worship devotions? Is individual worship prayer? Is that what individual worship is? My private prayer time now? My private devotional time now? Is that now my individual worship? What do you guys think?
I mean, those elements plus others.
Those, okay, let's plus what other things? Like your personal singing in the car to God. Singing in the shower to God. What else constitutes individual worship? Give me some examples.
What examples?
Don't know.
I think like worship, like the like definition of worship is pretty much to praise something. So you worship
okay.
of God.
Okay.
Or individual worship of God would be praising God. by yourself in whatever you do. So you could even be playing basketball. You could be.
Okay. So then now we have a new definition saying worship of God can be everything that you do, even as you play basketball. I'm not sure if you guys ever heard of I don't know if he was a desert father. There's a lot of these early Catholic guys before the Catholic Church became a little bit, you know, had the issues and there's a Protestant split. There was some early Catholic Church fathers. One of them by the name was Brother Lawrence. Have you guys ever heard of Brother Lawrence? Well, Brother Lawrence kind of came up with this as he lived in the monastery, devoting his time to God. He came to the realization as the monks, they shared duties, right? So for like 1 week, this monk would be the one washing dishes, right? And nobody wants to do washing dishes, but you know, you're at a monastery, so you gotta at least pretend like you love God and everything, right? So you're at the monastery and he's washing dishes and you know, it's just gross. But he discovered that while washing dishes, as he was looking out the window, good thing he had a window to look out of, you know, he was admiring creation. He was admiring what God has done. It caused him to think about his, where he was at in his life. And he, my nose is itchy, I don't want to sneeze. Okay, so No, it's not scary if I catch it. If I catch it, I could try to tone it down. If I don't catch it, it'll come out too strong. So he said, do you guys know what he said? Someone help me. Someone gonna punch me in the nose. Huh?
Felt God's presence.
He felt God's presence, like you said this week. And Brother Lawrence said, I didn't realize that washing dishes can be worship of God. Even as I wash dishes, my whole being can be worshiping God, right? Do you guys remember some passages in the New Testament? I'm just thinking out loud right now. I didn't plan to go here, but what do you guys remember worship being in the New Testament? Individual worship. Okay, Romans 12:1. What does Romans 12:1 say? In view of God's mercy for the past 11 chapters, I urge you, brothers, right, to what? To offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. And then, I think this is where Daniel's referring that, says, this is your spiritual act of worship. So then Romans 12:1, Daniel's saying, when you offer your whole life to God, now we're not just talking about devotions or prayer time or washing dishes. It's all of your life is worship to God. By offering yourself to God, by thinking about God, by we talked about last night in fellowship, the word abiding in his word. Jesus said in John 8, if you abide in my word, John 8:18, right? If you abide in my word, then you are truly what? My disciples. And then someone asked in the front, right in the middle of my sermon, what does abide mean? And abide means to stay in, to remain in, to continue in. So Jesus is saying, if you are always continuing in my word, in my ways, you are truly my disciple. Stay in my word. Stay in my word. Stay with me. Walk with me. Walk in the Spirit. All these concepts means that there is a perspective of corporate worship, but there's also individual worship. Now, I would absolutely agree, though, that devotional times that we set aside are times for worship. But I want to point out that here, the picture that we saw in David's instance was
When you see what God has just done, when you remember what He is doing in your life, it should result in spontaneous. What does spontaneous mean? In the moment. How do you say spontaneous in Chinese? 突然间? No? Huh? 同时, okay? So spontaneous in Chinese is like 同时, it's just like, man, it just happened. I just have to worship and praise God. How often do you spend time doing that? You see God's hand at work and you just, David didn't just do a dance like, all right, praise God, woo! That was an ugly dance, by the way. That was terrible. Like, woo! Right? Corbin has all these like new dances. Yeah, what's that one where you like do this?
Shoot.
Yeah, he shoots at home a lot. And I'm like, okay, so maybe you do a spontaneous dance. You're like, whoa, praise God. No, I don't think David just did that. He was celebrating, dancing. I don't think dancing means like 1 second. I think when you dance, you're like moving around for a while, right? And I know you're all Chinese people, so I don't know if you dance. Do you dance at home? Sometimes I just grab my wife and I just do a little dance with her. She's like, ah, what are you doing? Right? I'm like, I don't know. I just want to dance with you. I'm not even a good dancer. I'm just happy. Do you guys? Yes, that's right. I just dance, right? So do you guys celebrate God that way? So here's the question. Why do you think that Christians struggle in spontaneous individual worship? Why do you think we struggle with that? Or maybe not you. Okay, you go, no, I don't struggle. Well, why do Christians in general struggle? And maybe if it is you, you don't have to say, well, for me, unless you want to. But why do Christians in general struggle with spontaneous individual worship? So ask that question first. And then you got to talk about yourself. How is your individual worship to God? That's a general one, not just spontaneous. And discuss this with your group. Okay, I'll give you guys a few minutes to do that. Go ahead. Why do Christians struggle in spontaneous individual worship? It's easy to do it in a group, right? Okay, why do you think that Christians overall struggle in spontaneous worship? What do you guys think? Why do Christians struggle with that? Let me start like this table. Oh, how about that next group right there? We haven't covered you yet.
I think it's probably it's a cultural thing sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
Because we rarely outwardly express.
Sure.
Yeah,
everything's inside. You're dancing inside, though. Do you dance inside?
Yes, like, I do.
Woo! Inside, I'm just skipping. And
we consider like when you're happy, it's like your own thing.
Yeah. When
you're sad, your own thing.
Oh, yes, right.
You really share.
Yeah.
While over here, you know, Americans,
it's too much.
They share everything, right?
Right.
To just show it.
Okay.
When they say
they
love their mother,
they just say it, right?
In Chinese culture, we rarely do that.
Yeah, you don't say it.
You love your mom.
Yeah, you say it silently, though.
Yeah, you do. You say, I will act out rather than.
Yes, yes, right. Okay, so sometimes cultural, that affects our individual spontaneous worship. Okay, good. Good point. How about in the back there?
We talked about this in the we feel like on Sundays are more focused.
Oh,
Sundays are
sure.
Focused on,
yes.
You have a sanctuary,
yeah.
You have music, you
sure.
Have other fellow believers and newcomers, the pastor's message.
Sure.
You're more focused.
Yeah.
At home, you're distracted so much.
Okay.
Distracted,
yes.
Right. Your phone goes off, or,
right.
or your internet, or something's dinging at you. And how can you stay focused?
Sure, yeah, right.
It's hard. It's really distracting.
You know, home, you have YouTube. Yeah. I mean, come on, how do you worship, right, with YouTube? Okay, going. All right, good. You have something else there? Michael was saying something?
No.
Oh, someone was pointing at you, but that's okay. What's your point? None? He didn't want to share, that's okay.
No, I'm just thinking that we're not used to it.
We're not used to
it. We haven't
okay.
seen it in our lives. Our
okay.
grandparents didn't do it.
Right.
My parents didn't.
Right.
And you learn a lot from your parents.
That's good. That's
and
good.
Sometimes you have a good brother or sister that
sure. So it's fascinating. What you're saying, though, is very similar to what Lucy was saying here, right? I mean, it's just, it's, you're saying, I didn't see it modeled before me by my parents or by siblings or anybody else. She's saying, we don't do that because culturally, I don't see anybody doing it. It's not what we do. Do you think that then it's okay? I don't think that means that we have to dance, by the way. Right? But I think there is a version of spontaneous individual worship that may not have to do with dancing, but their celebration. Right? I mean, Chinese people may not dance. I mean, I think Chinese people do dance, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not modeled, but we celebrate. We celebrate other things. How would we begin to individually celebrate God? Right? Okay, good. How about we ask the question, what about your own individual worship to God? How about this group right here? How did you guys talk about your own individual worship of God? Oh, you guys didn't talk about it.
We said it's hard for us because sometimes we just don't feel the urge to do it individually or like we don't know how. But in terms of like...
You don't know how to individually worship.
Yeah. But in terms of like stuff that might be like sort of like spontaneous worshiping, it's like maybe like singing in the shower or just like... Mm-hmm. Just busting out like doing a song or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about not spontaneous, but for this one I was asking just specifically in general, how about individual worship?
Most of us don't know how to do it.
Okay. Even individually. So at church I know what to do. I just come in, it's focused. Come in, do what everyone else does, and I go home. But in light of Romans 12:1 that says, offer your whole life, Brother Lawrence washing dishes, Joshua said playing basketball, you know, or devotional life, you're saying that it's a struggle, like don't know how to do it, okay? How about this group right here? How's your guys' individual worship? Or what are the struggles of individual worship? Mm-hmm.
I think like for us, it was mostly like, there's like prayer and a lot of like just thinking.
Okay.
Of like what God has done in our lives.
So okay.
Like
okay.
Just praising Him like.
Okay.
Inside.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And that's okay.
And like.
See, that's not just cultural. Then that could be personality, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's not like you were born in China or Taiwan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay, but there was individual worship.
Yeah, like for like maybe Milton. He likes to play music and stuff.
Yeah, right. Music helps, okay.
Yeah.
You like playing music on the speaker or actually playing it yourself?
When I play at home by myself.
Okay. Okay, good. Great. So we can see that we might struggle in what's labeled as spontaneous individual worship, but actually the struggle may not be that we need to, you know, we're not dancing. It's, Stephen, when you say that you think about God, you said you think about God and you think about what He has done, how does that make you respond? What's your response to that?
I'm like really thankful.
You're very thankful.
And I praise God for like what He's done.
Okay, look at, and he says, I'm very thankful and I praise God. He's not dancing. You don't see Stephen dancing. Stephen, do you dance in your heart even? Not really. And is that okay? Is it okay for Stephen to not dance in his heart? I think it is okay. He says, I am praising. When I think about God, when I see God's hand at work and remember God and what He's doing, I am filled with thanks and I praise Him. But he doesn't say, even like me, he just says, I thank God, and I praise Him. And is it genuine for you? It is real. We don't all have to express ourselves the way David does in his Jewish very musical, very expressive. When you see each other, you grab each other and you go, mwah, mwah. You know, that's what they do. That's an expressive culture, right? Here, we're like, even like, we keep a distance. It's almost Korean, right? And it's like, no eye contact. I'm like, wow, okay. Is that okay? It's okay. Right? Even Marcus says it's okay. Or Cameron says it's okay. Right? So, is it okay? It is okay. I don't think that we need to feel hindered by our culture, like Lucy said, or by the fact that our parents, and we're not used to it because we didn't see it modeled. But can we begin to increase in our joy and our gladness for what God has done in our life through remembering God during the week, remembering God during the day? Give me some examples of what helps you to remember God during your day, your busy work day, your hectic life. What do you do? What are things that you guys do to remember God and to see God's hand at work and remember His steadfast loving kindness?
During the day, sometimes I work it so crazy, so just out of control. I close my door in the office. I pray to help me get through the day.
Great. Okay, so you actually close the door to your office and you pray. Great. Amen. Do you turn off the lights?
No. They go off by themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right. And they look inside, they're like, oh, Scott's taking his nap again. And that's okay. People said that about me before when I've like shut my door to pray. And then I started walking around in prayer. And then I have my headset on, so they think I'm like on the phone. But I'm actually talking to God. Okay, so, but that's if you're at an office. What if you're in a cubicle? You can't worship God because you can't shut the door. Right? So people who don't have offices, you can't remember God. How do other people remember God? How about anyone in a cubicle? How do you remember God?
I guess students are screwed.
Right? Students, you're in an open area, in an open room. How do you, give me some examples. Yes, Valerie.
Well, I listen to like a worship concert.
Okay, you listen to music, yes.
Well,
even in class sometimes. Well, you could sing worship music to God in class. I mean, silently. The way Stephen would, like, thank you, God, praise God, right? Okay, good. So music helps. I know music helps me a lot. For some of you, maybe you're not as musically inclined, but for me, music helps me a lot. Whenever I need to just, you know, set my mind on Him, I just put on some worship type music. On my phone, I keep it in my pocket, I walk around, I put on a speaker, play in the house. Every Sunday morning, I'm blasting our music so loud that I think the church next door, we're competing. Because we could hear them, and I think people in the parking lot could hear music coming out of our windows, you know. What about you guys? What else can you do to remember God during the day? Go outside, take a walk. Do you do that?
Once in a while.
Okay, once in a while, right? Go outside and take a walk. Any other suggestions, ideas?
At least for me, it's not necessarily something I do, but I would always get the notification from YouVersion.
So you get a Bible app reminder that shows you the verse of the day?
Yeah. That actually helps me like remind myself.
Right. Even a reminder on your app of a verse of the day. I know a lot of people who get reminded of God because of the verse of the day that pops up on their phone. Of course, how can you begin to ignore that? Well, you can turn on notifications, but you know, after a while, you can just like slide it off, right? So you don't want to get in the habit of seeing the verse of the day and be like, whatever, right? Take a moment. Let God use that to remind you, right? Let God use anything to remind you, because what this is, it's helping us practice seeing God's hand at work. And God's hand is always at work. It's just whether or not you take the time to see it or not. And it gives you more and more reason to, you don't have to dance, but Stephen or Lucy, like, practice inside. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of thanksgiving to God. My last question is this. We saw that in 2 Chronicles 7, 8 through 10, you see that after Solomon had gathered all Israel together, it says in verse, I went to 30 here. It says that when he sent people away, okay, we have done our corporate worship together for 7 days, by the way. That's pretty neat. And he sent everyone away to their homes. It says, they went home joyful and glad of heart. So my question to you is this. When we gather together for worship together, when was the last time that you left to go home full of joy and gladness of your heart? Right? And hopefully, maybe it was last night. You're like, last night, man, I went home, I was full of joy. Amen. Because I think this is a challenge for us when we see the picture of Old Testament worship, when they gathered together and they gave willingly and generously, when they worship God actively and not passively, when they worship God with words of praise and prayer and commitment making, when they use those words and told God they'd commit and make a covenant with them, when they worship God not only with love of their heart but fear of God, I want you to notice that that type of active worship together, they left joyful and glad of heart. And may that be our prayer for all of you and all of us, right? That when we worship God that way, our hearts will be filled with joy and gladness. You guys with me? Amen on that?
Amen.
All right, let's have somebody pray. Any volunteer to close in prayer for us?
I just want to thank you for this day, Lord. I want to thank you for being able to bring all of these brothers and sisters to be able to, I guess, learn something from Pastor Alex's Sunday school. I really want to praise you, Lord, for actually just letting us all be able to know who you are, be able to draw closer, and actually have a relationship with you, God. And not only can we really praise you and worship you together as like a one body, but that we could also be have the opportunity and, I guess, blessing to be able to worship you by ourselves wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God. I just want to ask you to bless Pastor James's message, as well as for anyone else who is preaching or anyone else who is sharing your word, God, that the message might just reach even one heart that doesn't know about you, God. Yeah, Lord, honestly, you're such a good God. I want to praise you for being such a sovereign God, and just thank you again for loving and praying for your people.
Amen. Thank you.